Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the turnout. This is awesome. So my name is Brian Castrucci, and I'm the Chief Program Strategy Officer at the Beaumont Foundation. If you're a tweeter, here's my Twitter handle. Please live tweet. The stuff I'm saying, I really hope to do a couple things today. I really hope to make you think. So you're going to leave here saying, I really like what that guy said, or I hate that guy. I don't really care, as long as you think. I'm actually going to give you a tool, something that you can use when you leave here. So it's not the, this is what I did. This is the session on what you can do when you leave here. And we're going to talk about a funding opportunity. So if we can do those three things, we're going to do pretty well for this session. Let me first tell you a little bit about the de Beaumont Foundation. Maybe you all don't know about de Beaumont, but Pierre S. de Beaumont, who's featured here, actually founded Brookstone. Pete was a pioneer in mail order. He was doing mail order tools before anybody, before Amazon, before anybody. And that's really cool. And he, along with our founding CEO, Dr. James Sprague, who's here in the front row, who lets a public health guy do a lot of fun stuff every day, worked to found the de Beaumont Foundation. And we really believe in a strong governmental public health system. And we fund in workforce development, building the public health infrastructure, and improving information and data management. So looking right now at the state of our health in this country, what we know is that Americans may be living longer, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're living better, healthier, more disability-free lives. We spend $3 trillion in healthcare annually, but 95% of that is on direct medical costs. That's treatments, tests, pills, and procedures. So right now, we are applying an old solution to a new problem. Today's patients are increasingly likely to present with one or more chronic illnesses for which there are no cures, that are caused and complicated by lifestyle choices, work and home environments, and other factors such as education, poverty, and community safety. And we all know those are what? The social determinants of health. So we're in a good place here because we know that. As we built what is now our healthcare system, we focused on treating bacterial and viral diseases, developing new diagnostic tests and technology, waiting for people to get sick before we intervened, and finding treatments to extend life for the terminally ill. There was little thought given to the impact of where we live and work and how we live and eat on our health. By working in silos, medicine and public health have really failed to recognize that community and individual health are inextricably linked. So Einstein said, because you got to throw in an Einstein quote, why not? So Einstein said, the world cannot be changed without first changing our thinking. We need to change our thinking about health. By joining forces, medicine and public health can actually enhance our capacity to improve health outcomes. We really need a fundamental change in how leaders in healthcare, public health, and the community at large work together to identify and address those factors beyond disease, outside of the clinician's office, that truly shape our behaviors and choices that are the precursors to long-term disease and early death. We might recognize the need for change. We might even want it. But the path to change is neither clear nor often easy. And so that's why this session to me is really cool, because we have several public health funders. And what we do really well is we catalyze change. And so I'm going to get to talk to you about two initiatives that de Beaumont has worked on, and one initiative where my partners from RWJ and Kresge, we have worked on this for 5 months. We went from kind of, you know, zero to a whole funding initiative in 5 months, and we still talk to each other. So let me first start with the practical playbook. So this is the tool. You can find the Practical Playbook at www.practicalplaybook.org. And what is it? It's an interactive, web-based tool that supports primary care and public health groups working together collaboratively to achieve population health. We developed this in partnership with Lloyd Michener from Duke University, who's right next to Jim in the front row. We did it with Dr. Sprague and myself, and we had CDC as a partner. Denise Koo, who is in the policy office now, has been a tremendous help as we've developed this tool. We have this National Advisory Committee with all of these partners who all recognize that integrating primary care and public health was an extremely important topic. And really, the target audience of the playbook is for primary care groups, local, state, and regional, public health professionals at the local and state level, and then a whole host of other stakeholders who have a dog in this fight: hospitals, healthcare, investors, academic institutions, and community organizations. And what the playbook tries to do is outline the strengths that we bring. Right? Public health. I'm a public health guy. I grew up in health departments. And I know that we have really strong data and analytics. We have reach into communities and to populations that almost no one else has. We are designed as a profession to have an impact on the root causes of health. We're exceptionally good at health promotion. And we have real ability to have policy influence. Our primary care partners also bring strengths. They have information. They have access and a depth to their patients that public health doesn't enjoy. They have a tremendous credibility. I always said, when I was in graduate school, if we had a coat in public health, like we'd have like blue coats, people would take us a little more seriously because the docs have those white coats. The primary care practices have been innovative in the medical home movement. And how do we get folks to actually start to move beyond just the clinical encounter? You have folks like Rishi Manchanda in his Upstream Doc book, looking at how do we do more in that patient engagement to improve population health. And primary care providers, we can say a lot about all different kinds of professions, but primary care providers, it's a tough road. These folks are committed, right? They're getting some of the lowest pay in the medical profession. They have some of the toughest uphill battles. These folks are committed. They want help. They want to make sure that their patients are getting better. That's why they went into the profession in the first place. So there's a role for everyone in integrating primary care and public health. There's a role for the primary care clinician. There's a role for the public health providers. And ultimately, there's a role for all other partners: insurance providers, social services, mental health, and community advocates. So when you go to this practical playbook site, and I encourage everybody tonight, because you're going to forget if you wait till you get home. So tonight, because we all have laptops or iPads or iPhones, or some of you might even choose that Android thing, we have access to the playbook. You're going to get into this learn, do, and share model. And let me just walk through learn. Learn provides a portal for those looking to learn more about integration. It provides the rationale behind collaboration, answering questions like, what is it? Why do I want to integrate? Why do I want to integrate now? When you go to the do, this is for people who are ready to collaborate, and it offers guidance, such as topics on how to work together and who to work with. We were at a meeting this morning with Assistant Secretary of Health, Karen DeSalvo, and she said, sometimes when you bring folks together, primary care and public health, the first meeting, it's just exchanging cards and just having a commitment to talk to each other. The next time you have a meeting, we're a little further along. Also in the Do portal, you have access to a database with nearly 700 tools and resources that are searchable by topic and location. And lastly, and I think really one of the most interesting parts of the playbook, is the share. And share is a portal for those looking who have had success and want to tell us about their success. We have 35 examples from across the nation highlighting successes and lessons learned. So if you can actually see what someone did somewhere, maybe you can take their learning and apply it to where you are and make some changes. And right now, we are still accepting case success stories. So if you're sitting back there and you go, wow, I have a success story, then you can go to the Practical Playbook website and submit your success story. So I think the strength of our playbook, it's a unique resource. It's targeted to both primary care and public health. There's something there for every professional to gain, to learn, to understand something, to get something new, to change your thinking, to try to move to this goal we have. It is a practical focus. Much like De Beaumont, De Beaumont is about practical action. We're not a lot about theory. We're not a lot about talking about it. We're about doing. And that's what the playbook is about. There's a strong interest and eagerness that we've seen in people trying to use it. We've gotten some really strong and positive feedback. We have the success stories, the 700 tools that I mentioned. We have really supportive partners. And the time is now. So that's the tool, okay? Because I promised I'd try to make you think, which hopefully I've done at least a little bit thus far. I told you I'd give you a tool. And now I'll tell you about a funding opportunity. This is the Contact Information and Practical Playbook. The funding opportunity is the Build Health Challenge. And both Chris and Abby will talk a little bit about this in a second. But I'm going to give you the big overview. The Build Health Challenge is a multi-funder collaborative. It's De Beaumont, Kresge, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and a private group called the Advisory Board Company, who works a lot with hospitals. And our goal is to increase the number and effectiveness of hospital, community, and public health collaborations that improve health and lower costs. So to apply to the Build Health Collaborative, you have to have a letter from the hospital CEO, a letter from your local health official, and a community-based organization. So we're pushing the partnership. This is about action. You know, you can talk a lot about the theory of integration. You can have plans, you can have procedures, but we want action. And this is a real push to move us upstream and to get some models that we can share nationally that says, this is how you do it. Here's my first thing that I want to do with this is I can't wait to talk to the CEOs who decide to participate, the hospital CEOs who decide to participate in this, and ask them, why'd you do this? What are the things that we need to know so that we can go everywhere in this country and hook more hospital CEOs onto this really integrative project? So what is BUILD? This is cool. So remember this, BUILD. BUILD Health Challenge. Bold, innovative solutions that bring forth new ideas for addressing complex problems. Upstream, focus on social, environmental, and economic factors that have the greatest influence on health. Integrated, partnership between a hospital or a health system, a nonprofit, and a local public health department at minimum. Local, solutions that are deeply rooted in and led by the urban neighborhood for which the proposal is written. And lastly, I'm an epi, guys, so this is my baby here, data-driven. Innovative uses of data and information, sharing to identify needs and opportunities, and measure outcomes. Build Health Challenge. Pretty cool? Yeah. So what is the Build Health Challenge? It's $3.5 million in grants, and they're going to be $250,000 for our implementation awards and $75,000 for our planning awards. We'll have 14 communities in total. It breaks down to 9 implementation and 5 planning. The hospital is going to be asked to do a one-to-one match. So that can be in-kind or that could be actual cash support. And this is, and please ask me no questions about what I'm about to say. You're going to ask Chris all these questions. $4 million in low-interest loans. So it's a total of $7.5 million. And Chris has taught me I've learned a lot from working with Chris and Abby and the perspectives that their foundations bring. And that $4 million in low-interest loans, of course, if we're going to move upstream and we're going to address things like housing, you're going to need capital in which to do that. And again, Chris can answer the nitty-gritty questions, but I think that's a fabulous addition to this. And we also offer a really robust menu of technical assistance services. The playbook, Lloyd Michener and his team will be there to provide technical assistance, as well as Prevention Institute through Kresge and the University of Wisconsin through Abby and RWJ. And so this is opportunity for all of us to learn from these grantees. And it's an opportunity to actually see the path. So we've talked about it. Does anyone not know that chronic disease costs a lot of money? Does anyone not know that heart disease kills more people than anybody else, right? We know this. This isn't, I had a whole set of slides once that had all this kind of data, and every person was like, okay, we know that. So we know it, and that's cool. But knowing it is one step, you know, Jim always quotes Casablanca. And I think it's a generational thing. So he's Casablanca. I'm the Untouchables. Okay, how many people have seen the Untouchables with Kevin Costner? Remember when Sean Connery gets all shot up, and he's dragging to get the piece of information he needs, and he grabs Kevin Costner and he says, what are you prepared to do? And that's really what this session is about. What are you prepared to do? Not think, not plan, but what are you prepared to actually do? And that's what Build Health Challenge will do, is it'll show people how to do, that this is doable in your community, it's doable in your community, it's doable in your community. We can do this. It's going to take grassroots effort. It's not going to be congressional fiat. We're going to have to do it. We in public health. This is our mission. This is our work. And so lastly, the partners that we brought together, again, to bring a funding partnership together in like 6 months is not recommended. It's not best practice. But we did this because the passion of the partners is tremendous. And hopefully I have, at Build Health Challenge, if you're interested, buildhealthchallenge.org, that's where all this information resides. If you can't apply, send it to somebody else. They can apply. Follow them on Twitter at Build Health. That wraps it up for me. Hopefully, remember, you hopefully thought a little bit. You hopefully got a tool you're going to use when you go home. And hopefully we gave you a funding opportunity that you or someone you know or someone they know can take advantage of and contribute to the change that we need in our culture, which is a transformation of healthcare. Thanks, everybody.